dropped this idea of learner's plates into my mind. I thought, where am I going to get a whole bunch of learner's plates? And looking online, and they're all magnetic or metal, or and they're all about $2 each. And I'm thinking, I love these people. But is there a way that's more cost effective? So I went down to a local RTA office and said, is there any chance I could buy some learner's plates? And they said, no, you can't buy them, but we can give you some. And so they gave me like 4. And I looked at them and said, is there any chance of getting more? And she said, what do you want them for? And I said, well, I've got a message I want to share at church, and these learner's plates will be a very helpful learning tool. And she said, no, sorry, we can't. There was 2 ladies at the counter. One lady said, no, we can't give out. We've only got, we can only give out a few at a time. And I was like, looking at them forlornly, beggingly. And she was explaining, why she couldn't. And meanwhile, the other lady kind of drifted off. And about 30 seconds later, comes back. Here you go. So God bless our RTA people. So I hope you appreciate my calligraphy on the back. If you can't read it, if you just blur your eyes a little bit, it'll come into focus. But I really want to emphasize today and through this term, we really want to learn from Jesus. He is the ultimate rabbi. He is the teacher. And he uses people, and he uses life, and he uses his spirit in all different ways to help us learn from him how to do life and how to do it brilliantly. So we want to kind of just experience that a little bit this morning. So this term, we're focused on being open-hearted. We really want to open our hearts up to the Word of God. And a section of Scripture that he's pointed us towards throughout this term is the Sermon on the Mount, which is arguably, by followers of Jesus and other people, one of the greatest teachings of all time. And so what we're going to do is I'm going to give you 4 questions. So just while I'm jotting up these 4 questions, if you could just look around you, and if you could, ideally, if you can find someone just to bounce some thoughts off this morning, you'll get a lot more out of this. So just while my back's turned, if you can just kind of look sideways and give someone a wink or a nod, that'll be helpful. If you want to do this by yourself, you're perfectly fine, no pressure. This is going to roll is I've got a couple of Chris's that are going to be reading this passage of Scripture, which is beautifully placed at the end of the Sermon on the Mount. So this is the last teaching, the last parable of the Sermon on the Mount. And I just really want you to listen to this passage like you're listening to it for the first time, if you can possibly do that. And, the reason I'm asking questions is it's just the way of Jesus as well. Jesus, in the Gospels alone, asked, I think it's about 320 questions. And it's just one of the ways that he gets to people's hearts and minds. So we want to kind of use his method of learning as well. So as Chris and Chris read out this passage from Matthew 7, 24 to 29, it's the parable of the 2 builders. And we'll read it in 2 different translations. And just as you're reading, listening, reading through in your mind, just want you to ask what stood out and what questions come to mind. What questions does this teaching raise? So thanks, whoever's got the NLT version.
Anyone who listens to my teaching and follows it is wise, like a person who builds a house on solid rock. Though the rain comes in torrents and the flood waters rise and the winds beat against that house, it won't collapse because it is built on bedrock. But anyone who hears my teaching and doesn't obey it is foolish, like a person who builds a house on sand. When the rains and floods come and the winds beat against that house, it will collapse with a mighty crash. When Jesus had finished saying these things, the crowds were amazed at his teaching, for he taught with real authority, quite unlike their teachers of religious law.
So everyone who hears these words of mine and acts upon them, obeying them, will be like a sensible, prudent, practical, wise man who built his house upon the rock. And the rain fell, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat against that house. Yet it did not fall, because it had been founded on the rock. And everyone who hears these words of mine and does not do them will be like a stupid, foolish man who built his house upon the sand. And the rain fell, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat against that house, and it fell, and great and complete was the fall of it. When Jesus had finished these sayings, the crowds were astonished and overwhelmed with bewildered wonder at his teaching, for he was teaching as one who had and was authority, and not as did the scribes.
So if you can turn to your partner, or if you're by yourself, just ponder just the first two questions. What's, again, you don't have to overthink this, just what stood out from what this teaching of Jesus, and what questions could this come to mind? So I'll just give you a couple of minutes to chat amongst friends or ponder yourself. Thanks. Just curious if you could reflect back just a few thoughts that the other person that you were talking with came up with. Might just sweep my way across this room with the first question and the other way with the second. So just curious to know what, again, doesn't have to be deep and mysterious. It could be just what came to mind, what was helpful from this teaching. I'll start with this section. He said that people that build on sand are stupid. It's pretty harsh language. Yep, so even people who aren't literate can get a picture of the comparison of the building on the house on the rock and building a house on the sand. Yep, any other thoughts? God's word is relevant for us today as it was back then. Any other thoughts? Jesus is the rock. Yep, he refers to himself as the rock. Yep. Yeah, what was Miriam's point, Cheryl? He listened to God, he obeyed God, he trusted God, and he still had to endure the floods and the storms. Yep. If you're going to do something, do it right. Yeah. Any other thoughts in this half of the room? Everyone's taken all the straightforward ones. Yeah, so people were hearing from Jesus, and that authority and his simplicity just could cut through to people. Yeah. I guess a couple of questions for mine are, you know, what in that region at that time, what did building on sand, building on rock, what did that actually look like? Was it down at the beach? Was it? And is he talking to us individually about our own lives, or is he talking about us as a church or as a community or as a nation about building our lives on rock or sand? So I just want to share a few ideas before we get on to question three, which is how does this passage show the difference between the ways of Jesus and the ways of our world? And throughout this series, we're going to tap into the Bible Project, which is just, they're just gold, and they do it in cartoons, so It makes it easy to watch and to listen. Just a 3-minute Bible project clip, and then I'll share a few thoughts, and then we'll move on to question 3.
But never be known by him?
Well, remember, Jesus warned about doing the right thing for the wrong reasons. If our motives are disconnected from our actions, we miss out on the life-giving, intimate connection that Jesus offers with himself.
A connection with Jesus himself?
Jesus isn't just presenting a choice about our behavior. The choice is about how we respond to him. Will we let him transform our ways to be more and more aligned with God's ways? Or, as he puts it next, where are we going to build our house? On the sand or on the rock?
Well, that's a memorable image, but kind of random.
Not really. In the Hebrew scriptures, the house of God is the most common phrase to describe God's temple, up on the rocky hill of Jerusalem. It's an image of how God's followers can build a community where God's heavenly presence can reside here on earth, just like the Garden of Eden.
So then, everyone who hears these words of mine and does them, they will be like a wise man who built his house on the rock. And the rain came down, and the rivers came, and the wind blew, and they fell upon that house, but it did not fall, because the foundation was on a rock. And everyone who hears these words of mine and does not do them, they will be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. And the rain came down, and the rivers came, wind blew, and they fell upon that house, and it fell. And its falling was huge. So, build places where God can reside and where Eden can spring to life, because ultimately, those places are the only ones that will last.
Yes. And just like Jesus said at the very beginning of the sermon, a city on a hill cannot be hidden. So let that light shine for everyone to see. Jesus is describing a new humanity who lives together by God's wisdom and love, creating communities of peace and justice in the midst of violence and death that surrounds on every front. In all the teachings of the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus has given us a bold vision for what this can look like. And through the rest of his own life, Jesus lived out that vision, and he offered his followers the choice to do the same. And now, that choice is ours.
Just before I share just a few other thoughts, just want you to ponder what's different from this teaching alone. What's different about the ways of our world, the ways our society goes about life, and the way that Jesus wants us to go about life? But just 5 things that I found that challenge me as I read this passage is, one, storms happen to everyone. That it's not this fairy tale existence of Christians who Jesus protects them from the difficulties and the storms of life. Everyone, he promised, in the world you will have much trouble. It's just part of the human condition. It'll be different on the other side of this life, but at the moment we're going to face storms. Secondly, no matter what happens, God just has a way of making it work for our good. He just does use storms, he uses difficulties in life to grow us. And he does it in his way and unfortunately in his time. Furthermore, we're encouraged to find joy in the midst of the storms of life, which is strange. But it's the truth. As we read in James, dear brothers and sisters, when troubles of any kind come your way, consider it an opportunity for great joy. For you know that when your faith is tested, your endurance has a chance to grow. So let it grow, for when your endurance is fully developed, you'll be perfect and complete, needing nothing. God uses the storms of life to show his faithfulness and to grow us in our faith and in our character. Another thing, the building on sand is easy and quick, but building on rock, not so easy. And it's the kind of looking up, trying to work out what was that era, what was the building like. And it was either the hard work of having to dig through sand to find bedrock, or moving to a place that's further from the water source that's rock. So either way, it's harder and slower, and creates more work in the long run. but saves us when the storms come. And just that challenge of knowing, obeying the teachings. Do you follow Jesus? Do you obey his teachings? A lot of people would say, yeah, can't knock Jesus, can't disagree what he's got to say, generally follow them. As we'll see throughout this term, there are some incredible teachings and commandments that Jesus challenged us with. Here's just a couple that are going to be coming up in the next few weeks. I tell you, anyone who is angry with a brother or sister, has anyone here been angry with a brother or sister or relative lately? They'll be subject to judgment. And anyone who says, you fool, will be in the danger of the fire of hell. That's some teaching. And love your enemies. Pray for those who persecute you. Think about the person or people that you dislike the most. How much do you love them? How do you show that you love them? How often do you pray for them? The teachings of Jesus aren't easy. And the last one, that God wants all in. He wants wholehearted. He doesn't like half-hearted, lukewarm. In the letter to the churches in Revelations, to the church in Laodicea, I know all the things you do, that you are neither hot nor cold. I wish that you were one or the other. Which is a strange thing to say. You think warm's better than cold. But no, since you are like lukewarm water, neither hot nor cold, I will spit you out of my mouth. That's challenging. So, yeah, just curious, how does this show that the ways of the world are different to the ways of Jesus? In what ways, what does this tell us about Jesus' ways that are different to the common ways of people in our society? Thoughts? I'll give you a minute just to talk to your friend again. Of the world versus the ways of Jesus. How do they differ? What stands out? What's something that's different in the way Jesus has us to approach life and to the way that our society... Any thoughts this side? Jesus says forgive. The world says payback, justice. Yep. Self-promotion from the world. And whereas Jesus says to promote others. Thinking, yep, anything else from this passage that we learn about the ways of Jesus that differ from the ways of the world? Yeah, when the storms come, people in the world, it's like, why me, poor me? Self-accountability. We're not blaming other people. Yep. Yeah. Who sets the rules for living? Jesus made it, he was very kind in giving us a written word or word that was written down that we can refer to. Who sets the rules for our society? Who are the ones that set the ways to live properly there? Jesus is the truth, whereas the world counterfeits to suit their needs and preferences and convenience and likes. Yeah. Jesus makes life fairly simple, whereas the world can be a very complicated place to navigate. Yeah, that's good. Beautiful. Yeah, just a few other thoughts. That the world is all about shortcuts, easy, whereas Jesus' way takes work. It doesn't just happen automatically. We have to be intentional. There's a lot to take in, and it's a lot even more so to apply it. The world says, she'll be right, mate. Don't worry about the storms. Worry about it when it happens. Whereas God wants us to anticipate. He wants us to have the strength of knowing the truth of God's word. And the world says, trust in your own wisdom, do it your way. Whereas Jesus is brilliant and says, listen, I'm only telling you the truth because it's true. I'm only telling you my way to live because it's the best. And play by your own rules. Do your own thing. What you feel is truth. What do you think is right? Whereas Jesus' way says, do whatever I tell you because it's going to lead to life. Okay, so the last question, and I won't get you to feed this one back, but just the so what? I just want you to just pause and just ask God, just to drop into mind, what's one thing that he wants you to take from this teaching? What's one thing that he wants you to do or to think or to consider from the things that we've discussed here this morning? So I'll just give you a minute. Father God, we just thank you that you speak to all of us, that you are a God that communicates your heart, your love for us. So just drop into our mind. What do we take from this? What do we learn from this teaching of Jesus? What do you want us to apply in our lives? Comfortable, can I encourage you just to share with the person that you've been talking with? Just what's something that God brought to mind from this passage? Just give you a minute to share that. Thanks for sharing with each other. If I can just pray for us, and then I just want to finish by just talking about the way what we're going to be doing for the remainder of this term and how we can position ourselves to be open-hearted to the brilliance and to the loving truth and wisdom of Jesus. But yeah, just even from this teaching today, we just pray that Father, you'll just give us revelations, reminders of just how brilliant Jesus' way of life is. Just the strength, the trust, the test, the authority, the trustworthiness that we can have listening to him and living his way. And yeah, just out of this passage, just help us to realize that it doesn't just happen, that we do have the invitation and challenge to find out what the truth is, what Jesus' ways are, and the greater heart challenge of actually living them out despite how we feel, how challenging it is. But we just thank you that you want the best life for us. You've gifted us with your word. You've gifted us with your spirit. You've gifted us with community. So help us just to really position ourselves to be open-hearted, to learn from each other, to share with each other, to hear from you, and just to be courageously obedient. And just see, just taste and see just how good you are and how good the ways of Jesus are as we live it out day by day. And all those who agreed said, amen. Yeah, so this term we're looking at being a family of wholehearted people. And again, just that posture of being open-hearted. We really want to enjoy the Word of God. If anybody doesn't have a Bible or a study Bible, there are two here that people want to give away to someone. So they've also got the little bookmarks lined out so you can find the books without having to look up the index or trying to think, was that in the Old Testament or the New Testament? So come and help yourself to those. But we just want to use God's word just to test and just to challenge ourselves to what is the best way of life. We want to be open-hearted to God. Imagine if we didn't have God's word. What would life be like? What would church be like if it was just oral tradition? If 2,000 years down the track, what would the Chinese whispers be like? It'd be a lot of people twisting them and bending them to suit themselves, wouldn't it? We're just so fortunate to have the authority and confidence of God's word. And so we want to use it. We want to look carefully into the perfect law, the word of God that sets us free. And we want to do what it says and not forget what we hear. We're going to get blessed. It's going to be the best way of life. And we just want to really kind of continually do that throughout this term, because of those who have used God's word, it is. It's amazing. It's like it's alive. It just comes to life. It comes to mind at just the right times. You know, when you read God's word, it's just amazing how things come up in your life that kind of put it to the test and demonstrate and show us the truth. But again, if we position ourselves, it judges the thoughts and attitudes of our heart. And that's what God's about. He wants our hearts more than anything else. And so we want to give our hearts to God and to be open-hearted. And as well as the word, we have the Spirit. And the Spirit of Jesus is with us, and His job is to make us more and more like him and change us into his glorious image. How good is that? The Word and the Spirit. And so I said, we're going to look at the Sermon on the Mount, which is just brilliant. And we're going to be doing it in our connect groups or midweek teaching. I'll tell you about that in a minute. And throughout the Sundays in this term. Sermon on the Mount is not a set of rules and regulations. It's a picture of the life we will live when the Holy Spirit is having his unhindered way with us. Let that be. And we're learners. It's just positioning ourselves. You know, God gives grace to the humble. Resists the proud, gives grace to the humble. He wants us all to be wearing our learner's plates. We all have more to learn. He just has more for us. It's just the way that he is. And as that passage on the back of that L plate, that middle verse, accept my teachings, learn from me, because he's gentle. Jesus is humble in heart. He wants the best for you, and he wants you to find rest for your lives. I love the Message paraphrase for that. I think that's the best kind of verse in the Message Bible. Are you tired, worn out, burned out on religion? Come to me, get away with me, and you'll recover your life. I'll show you how to take a real rest. Walk with me and work with me. Watch how I do it. Learn the unforced rhythms of grace. Learn the unforced rhythms of grace. Jesus won't lay anything heavy or ill-fitting on you. Keep company with me and you'll learn to live freely and lightly. Who wants that? And we want it to be something not just for you. So throughout this term, the things that you learn and the way that you're learning things, we want you to share it with others and help them to explore and to enjoy God's word for themselves. We are all ministers of the gospel. Let the message about Christ and all its richness fill your lives, teach and counsel each other with all the wisdom he gives. It's a great way to love people is to help them to understand and get a revelation for themselves about God's word for them and their lives. His intention was that the perfecting and the full equipping of the saints, that's us, that's all of us, that we should do the work of ministering towards building up Christ's body, the church. So we're going to be doing this in Sundays, small groups, connect groups, and also midweek teaching. So by midweek teaching, I email out a kind of a shortened version of what we would do in connect groups for you to do as a daily devotion, a weekly devotion, but ideally if you can do it with somebody else. So I don't want anybody to miss out. So if you would like to receive it as a midweek teaching throughout this term, or if you'd like to explore joining a connect group, I have that little form right here. So you can fill it out. We'd love you to be part of it throughout the term. But this is all about enjoying Jesus transforming our life, our lives, and life around us. Amen. So before I hand over to Donna, and maybe if I can get the worship team to come up, can I just give you a minute to pray for the other people in this room and pray for yourselves, just that we will be hungry and open and humble and willing just to receive all that Jesus has for us by his word, by his spirit, by his church. I'll just give you a minute just to pray for our church community. Working in them and through them, that you are all about transformation of the heart, not just about better behaved people, but people who have a heart like your heart. So we just pray that you will help us to position ourselves to have a heart like yours, to have your way of life, because it's brilliant, because you're perfect, because you created us and you know the designer's manual, and we want to enjoy you, the people around us, the challenges around us. We want to enjoy the storms that we're going through or that are coming our way. We want to be living lives that are on rock, unmovable. We don't have to fear storms that come. Just anticipate seeing your truth lived out works. So give us a grace to have ears to hear, hearts to receive, and be generous with what we know about you and how we come to know you with others so that they can find life, the source of life, the source of truth in Jesus for themselves. Help us to enjoy you more and more and more. Amen.